Okay, welcome to Medical episode 205. I'm Corey. Here's Daryl.
Yo.
Full disclosure, we never title these episodes before we start recording, but this one's gonna be something along the lines of like shifting focus, changing gears, something like that, because Daryl and I had the conversation last week about like kind of like changing our focus from, you know, historically we've been a modern and pioneer focused podcast. We really haven't concentrated on pioneer a lot lately because that format is really not that appealing to either one of us, to be honest. But modern's really not been a thing that either of us have really engaged with a lot lately. And there have been a lot of reasons for that. The big one is, like, you know, obviously the pandemic has limited our ability to interact with it. For me, I think that the state of the game is just kind of pushing me away from, you know, wanting to play competitive 75 card formats, especially when the only route is MTGO. If you want to hear more about my opinions on that matter, you can read my Modern Has Been Left to Die with MTGO article that I posted on the website. Has a lot to do with the fact that the price of cards is completely unregulated on MTGO right now, and the migration of standard and limited players to Arena has caused a lot of problems with the balance of that economy. So I'm staying away. So I guess my point is, our focus, we talked about, we were kind of shifting focus a little bit and just covering Magic generally as a whole right now. And I think the way that we've both been engaging with the format more than anything else is really Commander. And this week provides a pretty nice segue to concentrating on Commander Legends. We got spoilers coming out, or previews coming out. We've got leaks coming out. We got tons of leaks from the last week and a half to address. But just overall view on the game and just the happenings related to the game, and until something changes with Modern and, you know, we kind of buy back into that format mentally, I think that it's only appropriate for us to, you know, to not pretend like we are really invested in, you know, that and really informed and experienced in that, because I don't think either of us really are at this point in time.
I mean, I would definitely agree with that. Like, honestly, for me, it's like, you know, when I got married, I ended up with two stepkids. And so, like, I don't have, you know, between, like, taking them to activities and work and stuff like that, I don't have a ton of time to sit down and truly give what I used to give due diligence for these formats of, like, I would play for hours and hours and, like, try and, like, master something and, like, kind of be on the edge of knowledge. And so, like, I don't have that time and mental clarity right now about the game. So I don't want to pretend to say I am a knowledgeable modern enthusiast. I am, you know, Commander has been where my bread has been buttered recently for Magic, just because it's pretty low committal. I can set my 100 cards, and realistically, unless somebody's like, oh, did you check out this card? I just don't even know most of the time the cards get released. We do the set games, and then I just don't even consider, like, oh, I should get that card for Commander or that card for Commander. It's just like, just never even occurs to me. But you know, we do have the pleasure of being able to participate in that modern format when we're available, and all the other formats because of our sponsor, Manatraders.com. Woo!
Yes, and speaking of changing gears, Manatraders can allow you to rent Commander cards, which, you know, Commander is a thing you can play online too. I played a couple of games myself just last night. So just use the promo code ModernMedical, all one word, no hyphens, for 14% off your first 3 months at Manatraders.com.
All right. So let's transition. We'll talk about spoilers. Let's talk a little Commander first. Just kind of general stuff here. For both our listeners to just get a brief glimpse of the format, and then kind of talk about, you know, where are you at with Commander? Where do you end up? You know, you have X decks or whatever. So realistically, Commander is just 100 card singleton format. Everything that's not a basic land, you can only have one of. And then you have a legendary creature that is functionally the flagship of your deck. They call it the Commander for that reason. All the cards have to share a color identity with that creature. It has to be a legend. So if you play a legend that is green, mono green, for instance, you cannot play a card like Kitchen Finks because it is green and white, and they have to have both color identities. If cards have a mana cost on them, such as something like Tazri, one of the new Tazris that has the Wooburg cost on it. It is a five color color identity creature, so your deck can be five colors, and you cannot play that Tazri in the deck that is not five colors. There is a separate ban list of things that disrupt multiplayer play, like Worldfire and things like that. You can go seek that out on Wizard's website. That's the quick and dirty of what Commander is. So, Commander stylistically for you, like, are you like a many decks, not so powerful, super themey kind of person? Are you a few decks, they're pretty powerful or well tuned, but you know, we're not playing CEDH? Are you a CEDH kind of guy? And then, like, what are you playing?
Is this like our introduction to this format, since we don't typically talk about Commander?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so there's like this Stanley toolbox that you can purchase. If you go onto the Commander Reddits, you'll find a bunch of like storage options. Like, people love to like share their, you know, like their found options, where there's like different like camera bags and stuff that just so happen to be like perfectly sized for like Magic cards and whatnot. And there's a Stanley, sure. It's like a hardware like storage case that you can get for like $15 from Home Depot. And it sure. is, it's like, it's a black case with yellow inserts in it that are like all these little plastic inserts that come out independently. And it is clear on the outside of it, and it buckles closed. I have one of those, and it's got, let's see, I think it's got 10 individual boxes in it. And I have all 10 of them filled with Commander decks. And so that when I have it closed... Yeah, and this has been my quarantine project. Like, prior to that, I had like maybe one or two that I like just had assembled at all times. But going back to like my college days, like I used to have like 13 or 14 of them at a time. Like, I just had a ton of Commander decks. That was my thing. But now so, now I have this box. I can just see like all 10 of my commanders. They're all foil and whatever, and I can, you know, I can pick the one I want, open up my box, and, you know, dig it out.
So are they all like super high power level, like you don't really care about budgetary restrictions and you're playing like the most competitive, or it's like you're just playing like expensive cards but it's kind of tuned? Like, where are you at on like, what are you trying to do? Are you fulfilling like somewhere between like your competitive itch and just like a super casual thing, or what are you?
They're not CEDH decks, and I tend to avoid infinite combos. I tend to avoid locks, but they are definitely competitive. Like, I have a lot of powerful and expensive cards in them. I don't have dual lands, like Legacy dual lands, but I have stuff like tutors. Like, I have Vampiric Tutor and stuff in some of my decks, that kind of thing. But sure. Yeah, no, like if I'm playing like a Niv-Mizzet deck, for example, I will actively avoid putting like Ophidian Eyes and Curiosities in that deck, because I want to do something other than like the easy, you know, win button.
Sure. Okay. So I'll kind of talk to you from my perspective. I downsized recently from 4 to 3 because I got kind of bored playing the Enchantress deck I built. It was just like trying to be a CEDH deck, and it was just like play some Enchantresses, draw some cards, untap your lands that are enchanted with Estrid, and then like eventually you make enough mana to loop your whole deck and bounce everyone's permanents. And it got kind of boring Estrid. After a while.
Estrid's cool. I've always wanted to build that one.
I'll send you a list. If you try and do it and like actually try to do the combo-y things, it gets kind of repetitive and boring, because like you have to play like a certain number of things and enchant your lands, because that's where you're going to get the biggest plus out of her plus ability, which is to untap all enchanted permanents. Like, you know, it kind of builds itself. Yeah, Utopia Sprawl. I mean, you're getting to the stuff like Overgrowth, Market Festival. Like, you're playing all of the like reasonable ones. And like, sure. You're just playing effects to like kind of, you eventually can like use the Chain Veil to make infinite activations for your Estrid, because you keep sending it back to the command zone after ultimating it, or like by putting a mask on it and untapping the Chain Veil, it's an enchanted permanent, so you can make infinite Chain Veil activations, which then eventually you loop through your Estrid and give it infinite activations. You make infinite mana. You can mill your whole deck, and then like that's like the combo-y kill, and that version got kind of boring after a while, so I just took it apart because I wasn't really enjoying like playing stuff like Stasis and things like that. So But I downsized. I have powerful cards. I have like Mana Drain and Mana Crypt. I used to play CEDH. Like I had one, but I kept like a Mana Crypt and a Mana Drain from that kind of stuff. Just I sold all my dual lands though, so I kind of powered down. But I have a control deck, a like mid range value deck that can loop, and then like a combo deck or an aggressive deck. Sorry. So like.
So no combo.
I have three. No combo deck. Okay. I took apart Estria that was the combo deck. I don't really want to put together a combo deck. They're not particularly fun.
No.
Like, you could call one of my commanders a combo deck because it's, like, Yorion. And yeah. You just, like, play Yorion with, like, one of the creatures that blinks it on the end step. So, like, every turn you get whatever ETBs you have in play.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you would like to call that a combo deck, then I have a combo deck.
Yeah. I'm trying to, like, police my own decks with, like, with my friend group. And, like, admittedly, my decks are a little bit... like pushing the power level, but when it gets to the point like I like Derevi a lot, but whenever I build Derevi, like it feels like a broken commander. The fact that you can always pay four to just put it back in play, like you can never deal with it, it's so powerful and so frustrating to play against. I always end up taking it apart because I feel bad. You know, like Derevi, like inherently like tapping and untapping stuff, like it seems like kind of innocuous, but once you see like what it can do with, you know, just like stasis type of effects and like abusing like inspired type of effects, it's it gets out of control really quickly. But most importantly, it's just that four mana put it on the battlefield thing that just seems egregious to me.
Sure.
That kind of stuff.
I actually just don't mind playing against any of that stuff. Like I'm like, you know, if you come to bring it, like tell me that you're coming to bring it, and I'll put up my best fight. And like, you know, sometimes I might take a win or two, and you know, sometimes I'll take a few losses. I'm like, can we not do that? But like, you know, I one of my decks is literally a control deck that's like a bunch of board wipes and counter spells, and then like the commander is Chromium, so it's just like the ultimate fair Esper control deck of like all the standards passed. Like you do nothing for the game and you play a big dumb beater and you attack people to death with nice. Your commander.
Classic.
That's literally the whole deck. Yeah, like literally just the biggest Esper control stupid deck. And like it can like do, like, if I put a Time Warp in it, it would have this, like, long, convoluted, infinite combo with Mystic Sanctuary. Mm-hmm. But, like...
Yeah, a true...
You know?
A true Elder Dragon Highlander.
Yeah, true. Well, not the original Chromium, the Flash Chromium, the new one. Not the true.
Okay.
I played the good one, man. Come on.
Well, he's still an Elder Dragon, right?
It is true. That is true. But that's kind of, like, at least... introductions is concerned, that's what the format is, that's kind of where we kind of play from for it. So that'll kind of tell you how this influences our discussions about the spoilers that we're going to talk about. As you know, this is a pretty good competitive card, this is you can get some inspiration from doing stuff like this, like, so that's kind of where we're going to talk from. So let's talk spoilers.
Let's do it.
Do you want to do it in color order? You just want to talk about stuff that catches your eye?
Well, it's, you know, it's kind of a mess with the, so, all right, if you've been living under a rock, you aren't aware of the leaks, but I think most people that are listening to a Magic podcast are aware of this, like, massive Commander Legends leak that's been going on, and so things are kind of a mess, they're sort of all over the place. I don't know that we should really go into too many of those.
I have a website pulled up, and I'm going to work from that website. And so whatever's listed on this website is what I'm going to use as an available card to talk about. And so I'm going for Mythic Spoiler.
Okay.
As far as things that looked leaked, it appears they do not have anything that looks leaked because one of the cards that got leaked was actually confirmed. So everything on here looks confirmed.
Yeah. So let's stick with anything that's official at this point. But that said, you know, we should address the leaks. The German... cards that were, there are a bunch of cards basically stolen. Someone found an eBay listing and early on snatched them up and basically one day after the other was posting photographs of the cards with his cell phone long before the release of the set, which the set has been pushed back already, you know, from its release date. So there's quite a bit of the cards, a large majority of the card, maybe not a large majority. Yeah, this is a large set, isn't it? It's like 300 cards. Have been previewed or spoiled already. with these really crummy images of the German versions of the cards. But there are quite a few reprints that have been shown off, and quite a few new cards that have been like basically poorly translated. So we have a lot of information about the set. We're going to just focus on the ones that have been started today, because today is the start of the official preview season for the set. So I don't know. What do you got, Daryl? Yeah, there's definitely some stuff I want to talk about on here. I mean, should we start with Vampiric Tutor?
I'll let you guide us here. Starting with Vampiric Tutor. So for those of you that don't know, Vampiric Tutor, black, one black, single black mana, instant. Search your library for a card, put it on top of your deck. Shuffle your library afterwards, then put the card on top of your deck. You lose 2 life. So basically, you get to set your next draw step at the cost of a card and 2 life. Yeah. This card's like $110 right now, I think, something crazy like that.
Yeah, I had no idea it was that much.
This card is crazy expensive.
Yeah.
So this is just a good, like, these tutors are just good. So kind of the big draw to the format for most people is it's a singleton format. So I don't need to have like 4 copies of Uro to play, or like if I want to play Omnath as my commander, I don't need 4 Omnaths to make sure I draw Omnath. I just need 1 Omnath, and it's there, and I have access to it. And so, like, I don't need 4 Survival of the Fittest or 4 of these insanely expensive cards. I just need to get 1 copy. So, like, reprinting Demonic Tutor or Vampiric Tutor, I'm sure they'll probably reprint Demonic Tutor too, if I had to guess. But just having these cards get reprinted to circulate them more, to lower their price, makes it so everyone can get their one. And so for some people that are like, all of my decks must be assembled all the time so that I can hand them out to people and play, like, it produces more stock that you could theoretically acquire more demonic or vampiric tutors. people like me who are, I just assume they're going to reprint demonic tutors.
Probably not in this set.
Maybe, who knows? But, you know, for some people, there's like, I just need a copy of Vampiric Tutor, and I'll just put like a blank with the picture or write scrawl Vampiric Tutor on it and like have my one. And then if people are like, oh my God, you have a proxy, it's like, okay, here's my Vampiric Tutor.
Yeah,
like, I don't have a problem with that. You know, so it just depends on like what's your philosophy on that.
Demonic Tutor was in, I think it was Iconic Masters.
Yeah, it was in a master set. I know. I thought Vampiric Tutor also got printed in that master set. But I know that this is the reprint of Demonic Tutor or Vampiric Tutor's art. Sorry, so I'm gonna, dude. They're functionally the same in my brain, man.
Very different. This one is an instant, which is significant. So even though you don't put it in your hand, you do it at the end of the opponent that goes before you's last turn, and then you can draw it right away. So this one hasn't been reprinted in a very long time. I think it's like 6th edition was the last reprint that, you know, in a set, that is. There's like a Judge promo and in some other promos and things like that. But this one, the reason it's like $100 is, has it been?
Yeah, no, there's that art isn't the newest art. It has
in a set?
6th edition. Well, there were master sets in Eternal Masters and Vintage Masters.
This was in
Eternal Masters and Vintage Masters.
But were those papers?
Vintage Masters was online only.
Yeah.
Eternal Masters, though, was a real set.
This was in Eternal Masters. Okay.
Yeah, I knew it was reprinted in a master set. I just couldn't remember which one. It was Eternal Masters.
Okay.
Because that art is the Eternal Masters reprint art.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Okay. Yep. So if this is a mythic and it's still $100 after this, I can't imagine that we're going to see a downtick in that price long term.
I mean, it's pre-ordering for $59.99 right now. So
yeah, and it's going to go back up to $100 in a couple months after the release of this set. Because like Daryl said, it's like one of those, it's like an auto-include in black. Like if you can, you put it in your deck, you know?
Yeah.
In similar to like Sol Ring, it's like, I feel like the availability of these cards might as well be increased so that players can do it. Sol Ring is an incredibly powerful card, and for only a few players to have access to that huge advantage, it's like, it seems like pretty unbalanced, right? So for only some players to have access to like a tutor, why not just like print it into oblivion and like give a bunch of them out? Now that's not going to happen with this, because WotC sees the cash money dollar signs in their eyes and sees the opportunity to sell packs with this fancy mythic. But I'm glad they've taken that route with something like Sol Ring, and it really literally has been printed into oblivion because it is included in every single EDH deck. But this is one of those ones that's like, if you're playing a black deck, you might as well play a tutor there's really very little reason not to. Demonic Tutor more yeah. so, but probably Vampiric Tutor too. I really, you know, why not?
Yeah, most people, if you're playing tutors, so like I built most of my decks intentionally without tutors. Like one of them has Recruiter the Guard, one of them has like Signal the Clans. Mm-hmm. So like those are the tutors I play. But like I built my Esper Control deck. It doesn't have Vampiric Tutor or Demonic Tutor. It has like Mystical Teachings and Dark Petition. So like part of the draw for EDH to me is like the singleton nature of the format. So it's like that's kind of cool. But like some people are like, I just want to be able to do the thing that my deck is built to do. And it's like, that's not wrong. Never yeah. am I going to look at go, that's wrong for you to build your deck like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just personal choice. How do you want to design your deck?
Okay. Follow up question with this one is, do you think this implies that we will see Worldly and Enlightened Tutor, along with this one?
I mean, I wouldn't hate it. Enlightened Tutor, Mystical Tutor, Worldly Tutor,
what's the red like one? All of those. Is there a red one? Gamble?
There is no red one. It's just, no, it's just Enlightened, Worldly, and Mystic.
Weird. Gamble is no red in the set.
Yeah. Yeah. Gamble is functionally. They might print a red one. That might be their like thing they do is like, hey, check out the red tutor that we never finished the cycle for that we're going to finish now.
What would like, it be? It would be like search your library for a card, exile it, until end of turn, you can play it.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. But Enlightened Tutor definitely needs a reprint. Worldly Tutor is coming out in the Commander Collection green, so I'm not isn't it? Maybe it's not. I think it is.
I think it's Sylvan Tutor, maybe. One of the two.
Well, yeah. Anyways, moving on. But Enlightened Tutor, definitely I could see showing up. Anyways, going on, other mythics. There are lots of mythics today. Seraphic Greatsword is appealing to me for my... equipment deck, which I have here. I'm trying to think of the name of this damn commander. Akiri, Fearless Voyager. I'm yet to
play. Is that the red one?
The red white one that you draw a card for each guy you or each player you attack with an equipped creature. Seraphic Greatsword is one in a white. Equipped creature gets +2/+2. It costs 4 to equip. Whenever equipped creature attacks the player with the most life or tied for the most life, create a 4/4 white angel creature token with flying that's tapped and attacking that player. It's like a Geist of St. Traft, but permanently. Like, it doesn't exile at end of turn. I love stuff yeah. that incentivizes players to attack the player with the most life total, because it, like, you know, I hate it when there are moments where you play with people that are, like, kind of inexperienced and they just can't assess, like, the threats in the game, and then they just, like, start destroying your shit when you're, like, way behind. It's like, why are you doing that to me? This guy across the table here clearly has this stuff you need to deal with, yet you're, like, killing my mana rocks, and I'm, like, struggling to survive right now. You know what I mean? Like, this doesn't yeah. quite solve that problem, but it's, like, okay, that guy's got 57 life because he's got that stupid Esper General that just gains him life for no reason. Attack well, him!
Yeah, get your free angels. So there's definitely a reason why when I had this Esper Control deck, this is the first EDH I really competently put together, was just Esper Control in general, and it's, the commanders were switched for it. For the longest time, it was Aloro. But I hated Aloro, just being the person to be attacked.
Yeah, well, because, you deserve it.
Oh, you're just gonna gain some life. Well, I'll attack you.
Yeah, well, don't play that guy.
So I literally switched my commander to, like, the most boring Esper commander for the longest time, which is Dakin Blackblade. Just, like, it's a big, dumb idiot. You have no reason to attack me just because I'm gaining life or something. It's just a big, stupid guy that's there to attack you eventually. Like, yeah, no. So that is definitely something I did not enjoy the experience of. So more reasons not to play Aloro.
Well, this card is cool, but it's not like really that great. It's just like interesting. It obviously, like, when you're playing equipment, the big deal is like equipping your creatures is a challenge, so you have to play a bunch of guys that do that for free. And so this is like, you know, low cost to cast, but the equip is 4, so if you're already in the plan of like all of your guys like have tap, equip, or pay 0 to equip, then, you know, this becomes a lot stronger and can give you tokens to later equip when your dudes die.
Yep.
But it's just a card. It looks like a good, maybe even a legacy card or something. I don't know what that looks like, but paying for it
that's not
kind of expensive.
Yeah, that's nowhere near a legacy card.
No. Well, people are playing that Maul from the Walking Dead, aren't they?
Probably. I don't know what it is.
All right. Anyways, we're not talking about legacy right now. Let's go on.
I don't know. Let's see. I'll grab something that I thought was kind of cool. Krark the Thumbless.
Oh my God, flavor Grand Slam right here.
Yeah, it's the flavor Grand Slam because Krark's thumb was in Mirrodin
Yep.
as a legendary artifact, and Krark's other thumb was in an unset, which was
Barkai.
all about Die Rolling. And so this is Krark the Thumbless. One, it's one in a red for a 2/2 legendary creature goblin wizard with partner. So
He's
if
got
you can
partner in
have
this
two
game.
commanders, yes, you can have two commanders that have partner together. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, flip a coin. If you lose the flip, return that spell to its owner's hand. If you win this flip, copy that spell. You may choose new targets for the copy.
Yeah, so like this has got to be like the most fun general to build around. Am I right? Like there
Okay,
probably
so
isn't enough cool stuff to do with him yet. But I'm hoping that this set has some flip a coin stuff that'll make him really, really fun.
I didn't read this card correctly, and I thought that it was when the spell resolved, you either copied it or it resolved and then you turned it to your hand. And I was like, this card's so broken. Like, you just always want to lose the flip and return the spell to your hand so you can like keep recasting. It's like you can make infinite mana with a mana doublet. I'm retarded. Just I mean, but
Oh no.
like this feels like you're looking for a blue black partner, or you're probably just gonna play with Thrasios and do like Temur Storm. I can see people just doing that. It's like, oh, I get two Seething Songs, I get two Boundless Realms. Look at me go, I'm doing the thing. It's really good with the coin flip generals from Battle Bond. And I'm sure you could find some sweet partners to like pair with this to like give you access to other colors and like put together all the coin flip effects. But like this guy just seems like he's a spells matter commander with a little bit of randomness for fun that could like put you super far ahead. Because it's like even if you just like on turn three you play this guy and then you cast like Ponder and you win the
Yeah.
flip, you get the Ponder twice. Like that's huge.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a simpleton, you just want to play him for value. But if you want to have fun, then you put the damn thumb in the deck too, and you play an actual coin flip deck, right? But I think it's going to be
Oh no.
really bad. I think it's going to be a terrible freaking deck, but you'll have a hell of a lot of fun doing it.
Dude, I don't know. I played with a guy that has a coin flip deck, and it like that was like the two random Battle Bond coin flipper guys.
Yeah.
And that deck is kind of scary.
Is it
Like,
really?
it's one of those, yeah, he would just like he would randomly just have control of the game and just like he was like forking the one red blue time walk that's like flip a coin if you
Oh
win the flip time
yeah.
walk,
Oh
and
yeah.
he was
I forgot about him.
playing like Ral's Eric and stuff, and but he was like forking like the one in the blue time walk, and like he was just like, all right, I've got this Krark's thumb, and like here we go, boys, like attack you
Yeah.
with these things, let's flip some coins, you guys are gonna die, like
That's awesome.
he did not mess around. It was a really good Voltron deck.
I love the flavor text on this guy. You see it? Double or nothing.
Yeah, double or nothing. That's why he
And
has no thumbs.
notice in the background, back behind the goblin in the art is the Mirrodin Mountain art. Isn't that sweet? Nice
Yeah, it's
little
just the
addition.
actual flavor Grand Slam.
Yeah, and that I love the art on the Mirrodin lands. I just actually the Sakiri deck that I'm playing that I was just talking about, I have all Mirrodin planes in it because they're the best. And I've got Return to Ravnica Mountains because they're the best. So, anyways, I digress.
All right.
I was really
All
happy to
right.
see this guy.
Let's
Should
talk about
we
some broken blue cards now.
talk about Mnemonic Deluge?
That was one of the broken blue cards, yeah.
Yeah,
You want me
so
to read that one?
Let me just preface this by saying I'm not a big fan of like 7+ costed sorceries in these types of sets because they always just read like end the game. And like I know the game has to end at a certain point, but like reaching like 7+ mana in a game of Commander is really not all that great of a feat. And so it's like whoop-de-freaking-do, you did it. and I'm not all that impressed, and including this card in your deck isn't all that challenging to do. But anyways, here it is. Mnemonic Deluge. 6, blue, blue, blue. Sorcery. Exile target instant or sorcery card from a graveyard. Copy that card 3 times. You may cast the copies without paying their mana cost. Exile Mnemonic Deluge. So this card is...
Tell you what I'm thankful for.
What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for the fact that you can't get Spellweaver's Helix to work in Commander.
Oh, jeez.
Because if you could imprint this with like a Flame Jab.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, retrace my Flame Jab. I cast a Flame Jab. Exile that spell, copy it 3 times.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Like, yep. So glad this is impossible to make work. Because it has to be spells from your graveyard, and you can only have one copy.
Yeah, you don't even need that, though. This just, like, there are so many spells where this just, like, this just takes over.
Right, but, I mean, people will try and cheat this thing, right? And just, like, cast it as many times as possible. And so, like, if that is an option they have, that they could cheat it like that, they 100% will.
Yeah, this card's silly. And, like, there's so many ways to play it for free too. It's like, I don't know, and I'm not even concerned with that. Like I said, 6, 7, 8, 9 mana, like getting to 9 mana is really not that big of a feat. When you do it, this is gonna like basically answer any problem on the board.
I would hope you could pay 9 mana and answer one problem, period. Not just on the board, just like that person's a problem, he is answered, or she is answered. Like, realistically, resolving a 9 mana spell in Commander should be able to kill a player.
Should it? All right.
I think so. Like, realistically, like a 9 mana spell totally unmolested should be able to kill a player. Because, like, let's think about this spell. You cast this 9 mana spell.
Yeah.
There's probably another blue player. You probably totally tapped out. If they have Spell Pierce, you're just destroyed. Whatever. Some random generic counter spell. Swan Song, have a bird. Like, don't care. So you happen to get by the blue player. So you also have to beat the green and black players with their Relic of Progenitus, Scavenger's effects, that the spell doesn't get eaten. Because if they eat the spell in response, this card is dead. Like, and some people just won't have busted sorceries, so you have to like include the busted sorceries into your deck to make this thing work.
Yeah,
which isn't really a cost, but like getting them in your graveyard can be.
Sure. I mean, what this realistically is probably what this is going to be most of the time is like destroy 3 permanents, right? Or like exile 3 artifacts.
Oh, I disagree respectfully.
What, Nate, what's the best case scenario with this one?
The best case scenario for this thing, 3 expropriates, because your expropriate got countered or discarded. What 3 time stretches.
No, like you're basically pairing with your own stuff, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm here to do the broken things. Like, if we're gonna cast this 9-minute spell, I'm gonna break it in half. There's like a 7 mana ultimatum. It's like kill 3 permanents. I would be looking to copy that thing. Inspired Ultimatum is another good one that would be nice to pair with this. Draw 15 cards and deal some damage spread around. Like Identity Crisis is another card I'd like to copy 3 times with this thing. Like, that's the kind of stuff I'm looking to hit. I'm not looking for Mickey Mouse and Vindicate and stuff like that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you're aiming too low, Corey.
Well,
That's like the floor is like, all right, I guess I'll cast Vindicate 3 times. And the ceiling is like, I'm going to win the game because I'm going to take 6 turns. And if I can't beat you guys in 6 turns, I don't deserve to win.
I just like, that's my problem with this kind of stuff. It's like, I just hate that. Like, there's just like that kind of design in a card that exists in so many different options in Commander these days. It's like, it's just so easy to include a card that's just like, okay, game's over. Like, you can have all this interesting gameplay for like 2 hours, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I drew my Mnemonic Deluge. Like, I'm gonna take 6 turns in a row. Do you want to continue playing? No, I guess we're done. Okay, that was fun. You know what I mean? Like, Cyclonic Rift feels like that, and that card only costs 7 mana, and I don't understand why that one's not banned in Commander.
So you and I are in different schools of thought when it comes to Commander, because I don't mind if games just end.
Well,
like if we play like a 30 or 40 minute game, and then somebody combos, I'm like, yeah, we all did stuff. Cool, the game's over. Like I'm not here for like 2 hour long games.
Combo is different than playing a card, though. Like, this card to me is like just a card. I realize it involves another card in the graveyard, but this is just a card. Like, this is just like playing Insurrection. Okay, game is over. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a big haymaker.
Okay. I mean, I'm a fan of battlecruisers and haymakers and combos. Like, I'm just here for it all. So, like, all
right.
The only thing I don't really like is don't kill my lands. And I don't really like Winter Orbs, but, like, I understand it because the ramp decks go so far out that just, like, you just got to stop them. So, like, Winter Orb, not fun, but I feel like it's a necessary evil. But don't kill my lands. Like, that's literally the only thing I'm like, all right, I don't like you because you killed my lands. Because most of the time I play a control deck and I like my lands. Like, pretty much everything else is fair game for me. So, like,
yeah.
This card doesn't bother me.
Okay. Let's move on to another one. We'll agree to disagree on this one. I don't hate this card. I just disagree with the design, and I think that it's more like just a conceptual thing. Like, I feel like we're gonna get a lot of this in this set because it's a commander design set. We're gonna get some big flashy mythics. This isn't the end of it, and I'm bracing myself for more of this. There's probably gonna be a green one coming too, right? Like a big ass green card that's just like, oh, I have like 25 permanents now. Deal with that. You know what I mean?
But, how about another broken blue card, Corey?
You have something in mind?
Speaks of the Second Sun.
Oh yeah, that guy.
The Second Sun. So six blue for a 6/6 creature Sphinx with flying. At the beginning of your post combat main phase, you get an additional beginning phase, which in the parentheses text, for people that don't know it, the beginning phase includes the untap, upkeep, and draw phases.
This is the first time we've seen
anything reference a whole chunk of the turn like that. It's like this specific chunk of the turn. Like, we have like beginning phase, main phase, combat, main phase, end phase. And like the end phase has some phases and the combat step has some phases of like how damage is dealt and how creatures are declared, attackers are declared. The main phase is just kind of its own thing, but nothing has really ever referenced the entirety of the beginning phase. So this is new.
Yeah.
But this is functionally Time Walk, like, because realistically, most of what Time Walk does for like the blue players aren't really looking to attack you again. And not too frequently are they really concerned about playing an extra land. They just want to untap and have another card.
So when you play this thing
with Time Walk effects, like, you start to see how that snowball rolls downhill really fast. Because that blue player gets double mana and they get double cards.
Wilderness Reclamation plus draw card.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kind of like what it is. And then, like, you trigger upkeep effects too, which might mean draw more cards in some cases.
Yeah, or, yeah, like Seedborne Muse type effects, like if you have untap effects in your upkeep. Or, like, just like things like epic spells. So, like, If you're playing like an epic spell and like there's one that's like steal things from your opponent's decks, you go steal this guy and you get to trigger your epic spell again and you go steal another thing. Like, that can be a thing you're doing.
Daryl, you want to remind us what epic does? Because that's a keyword mechanic that doesn't get played a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So the card I'm thinking of is actually Eternal Dominion. It's 7 blue, search target player's library for a card and put it into play under your control. And epic, it has epic. So when you cast an epic spell, you can no longer cast a spell for the rest of the game, and you cast that spell every turn on your upkeep.
So if your opponent has a Sphinx as a second wind, all you have to do is go grab theirs.
You steal theirs, and then you get an extra upkeep, and you get to go get another thing. And so if there's time walks involved, you can see how the snowball rolls downhill in a hurry. So, like, this thing plus Metamye the Ageless. Well, okay, I'll attack you. I get a time walk. I draw an extra card. I untap my lands. I play more spells, and I take my extra turn. And I can't get an extra turn with Metamye this turn, but I get to have double mana and double cards again. So it's like, you can see how this will be. It's basically, like, for you and your equipment deck, it's stapling Fire and Ice and Feast and Famine together and getting a trigger with it every turn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's insane. So, yeah. This card is busted. I'm not looking forward to sitting across the table from it. I think it might be worse than Unscrewed Six.
Yeah, I mean, I think untapping every turn is the big deal. It doesn't matter if it costs 8, because it's just free. You know, if your opponents are all tapped out, like, you can just sneak this into play and be like, okay, deal with it. Like, it doesn't have any protection, but it's like, you're in blue, so, like, if you have 8 mana, you likely have a bunch of cards in your hand, too.
Yeah, this card's very, very good. Let's see. That's all I have to say on it. It's busted. You'll see it a lot at your tables. I'm not excited about it.
You don't like it, though. That's weird. You're a blue person, and you don't like it.
I mean, the card is just going to... This card is going to be, like, Primeval Titan. Like, people that have it in their decks will get Bribreed, and then people will try and clone it.
Yeah.
Like, this is where my brain is going. It's like, this card, to me, appears like Primeval Titan. It's going to be like, who can get this out first? Who can copy it the most? Because, like, if I'm getting this effect, like, if this is a trigger, so, like, I play this, I Phantasmal Magia, I clone it, I get 3 extra beginning steps, I get 3 extra upkeeps, I get 3 extra cards, I untap 3 extra times. That's what this reads like to me. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so it's for each copy, yeah, you would get an additional beginning phase.
Yep.
So, like, you would get all of this stuff multiple times. And so, like, that is going to get out of control. Like, people bribering this thing, like, the game will be like, who can bribery it? Who can entomb reanimate it? Who can kill it? Like, who can get their lands out? It's kind of like the Primeval Titan game. This thing feels kind of similar.
Yeah.
Feels like another Consecrated Sphinx effect. I'm not a big fan of Consecrated Sphinx. Like, that's just kind of how I feel about it.
All right. Yeah. There's a lot of good blue cards in this dump today, so we might as well keep the trend going and talk about Nymeris, Uno's Trickster. Nymeris. We'll call it Nymeris. This is a 1/6 flyer. This is an odd stat line, don't you think?
That is a stat line I have not seen before.
This one's a legendary creature. Thank God the Sphinx is not legendary, by the way. That would be an obnoxious legend to play around.
Oh, yeah.
I think it would be fun to build around the extra upkeeps, but obnoxious, to say the least. Okay.
Everything else about it is obnoxious.
Yeah. Nymeris, Una's Trickster, 3 blue-black for a legendary creature, Fairy Knight. It is a 1/6 flying flash. Whenever you cast the first spell during each opponent's turn, look at the top 2 cards of your library, put one of those cards in your hand and the other into your graveyard. This guy's like a really, like, this is set up to be like a control general here, like you've never seen. That's a sweet card.
I've definitely seen it before. So one of the guys that we used to play Magic with in Madison had a Widwin, the Biting Gale. He's like, that's the best flash commander I could find.
Oh, this is way better.
Everything is
way better.
Yeah. Well, that was the best blue-black flash commander at the time.
Yeah.
And so he's like, if Widwin, the Biting Gale was his commander.
Yeah.
And he's like, and everything in the deck has flash. Nothing is a sorcery. Nothing inherently has to, like, be given flash to be played at instant speed. It's all just played on your opponent's turns or at any point in time. And so, like, this commander is insane for that guy's deck. Like, it just greatly improves that deck leaps and bounds.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a 1/6. Its stats, like, obviously are positioned to be, like, really resilient to, like, burn and, like, maybe even block, but obviously not very aggressive. So if you're going to play, like a control deck, like, you've got to find some way to, like, actually win the game eventually too. And so that's where you turn to cards like Mnemonic Deluge to just do something egregious when you reach, like, the 9 mana threshold, you know?
So, I mean, this is a thing, like, I'm going to start to wander off into Bizarro territory and you're going to dislike me. This is the kind of thing where you start to see things like, I'm going to give this thing a lifelink and then I'm going to play Hatred. I'm going to 21 you. And I'm going to gain all the life back I spent on the Hatred.
Yeah, but
and then I'm going to place Mystic Sanctuary and put the Hatred back on top of my deck and do it again. And then do it again. Like, that's how I envision, like, one of the ways of killing with this commander. is like, I'm just going to refer this hatred.
Sure. Or equipment would work just fine because he's got flying.
Yeah. Hatred's just good because it's an instant, and if it goes unblocked, like, then you just get the lob of hatred at their face and kill them.
What's going on with these frames? Is there, like, there's, like, these little triangles coming off of the creature type.
It's a showcase frame.
That's on the showcase frame. Okay. Is it just because it's a legend or what?
No, it's just the showcase frame.
Hmm. Okay. I've never noticed that before.
Well, I mean, I think it's just this set's showcase frame.
Okay. All right. It's just subtle little triangles on either side of the legendary creature box. All right. Cool. So, a couple of reprints today. Xenagos, God of Revels is another one. We know Prosh is in the set. That one was spoiled earlier. We talked about Keeper of the Accord a couple weeks back. That was in the initial teasers.
Yeah.
Mindless Automaton was previewed today as an uncommon. It's in, is it French? Potentially, I should know this. Yeah, I think it's French. I love that card. One of my favorites. Some of these artifacts are cool. Blade Griff Prototype, 5 a 3/2 artifact rare.
That's one of them.
You like that one? It's a griffin. It's got flying, and it when it deals combat damage to a player, destroy target non-land permanent of that player's choice that one of your opponents controls. So in a three-player game, like you hit player A, and that player is like, okay, I choose this player B's soul ring and kill that, you know, whatever it may be.
Yeah, right? Like, it's kinda weird. you want to take one for the team,
right? Which is kind of cool because like Trigon Predator like has to get through, but this one's like definitely getting through. Like anyone would be willing to take 3 damage to like get rid of the problem permanent, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, Trigon Predator. It's like, well, you don't know what the Trigon Predator is going to do. So, like, you just want to kill the Trigon Predator. But this guy, you're like, oh, I get the control. All right, I'll take 3. I will pay 3 life to destroy target non-land permanent. That's totally fine by me.
Yeah.
Like.
And it's totally different in a one-on-one game because they have to choose one of their own permanents, right?
Yeah, they have to pick their own non-land permanent.
Cool. I like that guy. What else have you got?
I got Phyrexian Triniform, and this is going to give us a preview of one of the keywords in this set, which is Encore. So Phyrexian Triniform is a 9-mana 9/9 artifact creature golem. When it dies, create 3/3/3 colorless artifact golem creatures. So it basically just breaks down into 3/3/3s. And then it has Encore for 12. So pay 12 mana, exile this card from your graveyard. For each opponent, create a token that attacks that opponent this turn if able. It gains haste, sacrifice them at the beginning of the next end step, activate only as a sorcery.
It's a lot of tokens. It's a lot of mana.
So it's basically Unearth, but it targets all of your opponents. So Unearth, Myriad. For that, yeah. So for Unearth and Myriad together, you're correct. So for this one, it's make 3 9/9s, attack all your opponents for 9, and then get 27 power of golems, 9/3/3 golems for 12 mana.
Yeah, I'm unimpressed by this guy, but obviously that's a lot of power, but what are you going to do with it? It's just a bunch of tokens with no evasion or anything.
I mean, if you're in the business of artifact stacking for things like Croak and Ironworks, this is nice.
Yeah.
You can also recur it infinitely by itself with Nim Deathmantle and Ashna's Altar. Because you sack the original 9/9, you get 3/3/3s. Trigger for Nim Deathmantle on the sack, you sack the 3/3s, you get 8 colorless mana, you pay 4 to bring it back, and then you get 4 colorless mana on every iteration. So, like, you can infinitely loop.
Oh, with KCI. And
with Ashnod's Altar.
Oh.
Sacrifice creature.
Well, either one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, either one would work, yeah. But with that, you could make infinite 3/3 golems because you only need to sacrifice one of the golems and the 9/9 mm-hmm. to make this work. So, like, you could loop this infinitely for that. And then if you get anything that makes colored mana, and has colored costs to do something similar, like with Phyrexian Altar and things like that, you get a similar style effect.
Okay, that's cool.
But yeah, anything that just wants more bodies, like with sac outlets and stuff like that, this is a totally reasonable thing that you can like cheat in a play or something like that.
The more and more I play this game, the more I think that main deck Rest in Peace is like one of the most powerful things you can be doing.
In Commander, I like to have like 3 to 5 pieces of graveyard hate in most of my decks. Like in my control deck, I don't play Rest in Peace because I play Mystic Sanctuary, so I'm like Mystic Sanctuary, and then like all of the recursion lands, so like Academy of Ruins, Hall of Heliodges and Generosity, and Vorash Stronghold. So like I don't play Rest in Peace, but I play like Nihil Spellbomb and Identity Crisis and
Soulguide Lantern is a very good one.
things. Yeah, that's a good one too. I actually don't play that one, but I play Merciless Eviction, and I'm gonna play the new Undo one that's like exile all non-land permanents or whatever. The land.
Do you know that Soulguide Lantern says tap, sacrifice Soulguide Lantern, exile each opponent's graveyard?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, it's really good for Commander. So that's the
Does it come
free
into play?
sacrifice.
Does
What?
it come into play and draw a card?
No, it comes into play and it exiles target card from a graveyard. So then you can like
Oh,
Mind
okay.
Stone it to draw a card, but then it also has just a free tap sack, exile each opponent's graveyard. It's kind of like a Tormod Crypt for all your opponents.
Oh, that's pretty solid. Yeah, that's actually really good. I would now start to consider playing that card in more of my decks. That
Yeah,
is actually insane.
it's surprising sometimes when you look at some of these cards that you're like, oh, that's just a modern card, and then you're like, oh, wait, actually, like they did consider Commander for this one too because it has the word each on it. And you're like, that's
Yeah,
powerful.
no, that's a very good card for Commander. But that's one of the cards I did want to talk about, just because like it has a lot of fun, interesting. Like people look at that and go, that's a Commander card. It's big, it's splashy, it's a haymaker that I can throw, and I can make 9/9s and make a bunch of tokens, and like then my opponent has to figure out how to deal with all these tokens. So like it's something that you could considerably like just have end up in your graveyard and go from no board state to all of a sudden like you might be the threat because people are top decking and you have 9/3/3s. So I got two commanders to talk about, and then we can bounce to whatever you want, but I think I'm gonna use up the rest of the good stuff here.
Yeah, I think
So the
that
second is the
we're gonna wrap up on this, by the way. Go ahead.
Oh, we're gonna wrap up on this one?
Yep.
Well, then I'm
Or
not gonna
well,
talk
no,
about that guy.
on your two. This is the last. I don't have anything
Okay,
else to
cool.
talk about after this is all I'm saying. Go ahead.
The Ghost of Ramirez DiPietro. So 2 and a blue for a legendary creature, Pirate Spirit. It cannot be blocked by creatures with toughness 3 or greater. Whenever it deals combat damage to a player, choose up to one card in any graveyard that has been discarded or milled this turn. Put that card into its owner's hand with partner.
What? Okay, I didn't see this one.
Yeah.
Comments to a player, choose up to one card that's cool.
Yeah. So you can help other people out by if they discarded or milled cards, you can return them to their hand to give them like resources to help foster alliances. Or you can like do self-discard things. Like if you do like looting with like Merfolk Looter and stuff like that, you can turn your looters into just cantrips with your commander. If you have like if you're playing like lantern style effects, you can get back your lantern cards if they're important. Like just like in most of my blue decks, I like that actually need some recursion that like don't have like black or something like that, I play Codex Shredder because it's just a 5 mana Eternal Witness on an artifact. So you can also just mill yourself and draw an extra card with Ramirez DiPietro, like whatever that card is.
Ramirez
So
DiPietro. What the hell is this guy's name?
Ghost. Yeah, it's the Ghost of Ramirez
Yeah,
DiPietro. Yeah,
I
kind of
see that.
ridiculous. Ramirez DiPietro was an old creature, an old pirate, and so they killed him off, and this is his ghost.
Phantasma. It says Espirito Pirata. So that oh, that's spirit. Okay. I don't know Spanish. Carry on.
That's definitely, I don't think that's Spanish. I think that's Italian, but
Or
yes.
Italian? Yeah, oh yeah, it's
I think
Italian.
so.
Definitely Italian. Okay. Yep. Creatura.
Yeah. And then the other one, which is kind of another interesting mechanic. I don't know if they'll do it with any other creatures or if this will be the only creature they do it with, is Lisa, Shroud of Dusk. 2WW, for a legendary creature angel, 5/5, flying lifelink. Rather than paying 2 mana for each previous time you cast the spell from the command zone, you pay 2 life that many times. Whenever a player casts a spell, they lose 2 life.
Nice. Yeah, this one's cool. Whenever a player casts a spell, they lose 2 life.
Yes, it always costs 5. So let's start with the command zone, commander interaction stuff. This card will always cost 5.
Mm-hmm.
It will cost you some amount of life points. So if you've played it from the command zone 0 times, it's just 5 mana. If you've played it from the command zone once, it's 5 mana and 2 life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you always have access to this card, and it never, like, you never need to rebuild your mana base to replay this card. So that's a big upside for having just being able to slam your commander on turn 5.
Are there...
And then it's...
Sorry, go on.
Go ahead.
Right, I'm wondering...
It has life...
It has lifelink to recoup some of that. Aren't there some enchantments, like, you know, there are those black enchantments that have to do with, like, life loss and life gain. Are there some that have to do with when you pay life, like, opponents lose life type of thing? Like,
probably,
tainted blood? Okay, I'm trying to think.
I'm sure there's something that, if, like, you pay life, your opponents pay, like, I'm sure that seems like an effect. But there's also stuff like you can switch life totals and stuff. So, like, you could just keep slamming your command and then play cards that, like, swap the life totals around. So, like, you could pay yourself down to 4 or whatever and then be like, all right, I'm going to exchange life totals with that person. Now they're at 4. And, like, but, like, just being able to always slam your commander when you have 5 mana. And, like, realistically, it has to die every single time. Otherwise, like, you're going to be able to recoup the 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 life you've paid for your commander, right? Like, that's going to be something you can definitely recoup.
Yeah, the only thing I can see for when you pay life is Font of Agonies. Whenever you pay life, you put that many blood counters on it, and then you remove 4 to destroy target creature. So that's probably go good in there, but not great.
I mean, I feel like this is your kind of card, though, Corey, because it literally says, like, speed the game up, like, it causes people to attack, and, like, because, like, if people are getting oppressive and this card's in play, like, attacking someone is as good as, like, taking all their resources away, because, like, you get them down to, like, 4, they can only cast one spell and they have to kill this thing, and then once it dies they have to, like, make sure it never hits the board again or they just lose.
Yeah, this is good. It's really annoying to the point where it's, like, the biggest target on the table when it's in play. So that makes me a little nervous, like, as far as, like, keeping it alive. So you're really gonna need to prioritize, like, Lightning Greaves and, like, Dark Steel, whatever the equipment is that makes it indestructible plating.
Dark,
right?
Steel plate.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah. But I don't know.
Gift of Immortality, another good one. Yeah. Like, I just wanted to highlight the functional piece of it, of, you know, they're giving you a way to circumvent the commander tax.
Yeah.
That's less oppressive than your favorite card, Derevi.
Yes. I think I'd probably want to build a deck with this guy that just is, like, a bunch of life gain, a bunch of those protection spells, and then just, like, a bunch of removal. And it just leans heavily on this guy. But I don't know if that's even really good.
I mean, Voltron is totally a strategy. Like, just play, like, good equipments.
Yep.
Tons of life gain, and this creature.
Some ghostly prison stuff, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They can attack with only one creature type of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Crawlspace thing.
Crawlspace, yep.
Yep. All right, that's it. That's all I got. Those were the last 2 things I wanted to talk about.
Cool. Well, I look forward to seeing what comes out next week with this set. There's definitely gonna be more. I'm looking at the bottom of a card right now, trying to see 361. Does that say? Holy crap, this is a big one.
Big set. 361. That is correct.
Yeah, I guess you gotta have a lot of cards to draft. So sadly, this is not going to be draftable because in-store play is still suspended till January. So they were talking about having a pre-release for this one. I don't think it's gonna happen. But thank God for Spell Table.
Online pre-release. Whee!
You know, this would be this would be a great way to get Commander in Arena. I don't think it's happening, but if they drop this bomb on us in the next couple weeks, for the like, guess what? You can pre-release Commander Legends in Arena, and it's gonna be the start of Commander in Arena. I think we'd all lose our minds because it's time, you know. Like, I feel like the client can support at least 1v1 Commander. You know, Brawl has shown that, but to play multiplayer Commander, even with just like the historic legal cards in Arena, that would be a huge improvement to that experience.
Like, for me, that would actually probably get me to take a look at Arena just to try and like get wild cards to build Commander decks. And like,
historic Brawl is really fun. They just don't, they're not allowing you to play it. You know, it's like every like, there's like one day a month you get to play it on a Friday and then it's gone. Which is a shame because it's a really cool format, but yeah, it's like a special like Friday event that they offer for FNMs every once in a while, and then it's gone. So sad day. Anyways, we'll catch you next time.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
All right. Take it easy, everybody.
Bye.
Modern Metacall is a production of CarnockLife.com, where you can find a selection of MTG content, both written and recorded. Looking for deck primers? We've got them. Interested in videos? Try our CKL Play series, where we take the most interesting decks appearing in published results for a spin through MTGO leagues. We've got a team of talented writers specializing in a variety of formats and archetypes. To keep up with CarnockLife offerings, you can follow us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/CarnockLifePodcast. Thanks is due to ManaTraders.com, MTGCast.com, and TheDiscard.com for their support in making this possible, and thank you for listening, commenting, sharing, and reading Card Knock Life content.